Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He is Chris Buccinani. I am Jim Galante. Chris, the last, even several weeks, you and I have been talking about so much off-the-field stuff in college football because so much going on. The playoffs, the NIL, unionizing, so much going on. But for this week, I've got a crazy, crazy, crazy idea. What do you think of this? How about if we talk some actual football?
That sounds wonderful.
I know it's a crazy off the wall idea, Chris. But
I mean,
it just
quaint
might work.
Almost, right? The current iteration of college football has almost become a side story to what it's metamorphing into. But yeah, we still got a season to play this year, and Penn State's going to have they're going to field a very, very competitive team. I imagine there are quite a few Nittany Lions out there who are like myself, who are like once bitten, twice shy at this point. But the talent is there. There's no doubt.
You know, Chris, I'm still that guy who will go into every season optimistic. I can't help it. I do it with all my teams. All our listeners know I'm a New York Mets fan. It's, you know, spring training right now. I'm telling you, Chris, the Mets are going to surprise everybody, okay? That's my attitude. Sure. I feel that way, and I feel the same way about Penn State football. I feel like as a fan, for me to enjoy it, I got to go into it that way. But let's actually get to football talk, actually see what's going on. Spring camp is ready to begin. I thought, what better time to start talking actual football with you? And it's really maybe the most interesting thing with this team is that the turnover in coordinators, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, even a new special teams coordinator. But let's start on the offensive side of the ball, and let's start with that new coordinator. Andy Kotelnicki comes in with a great reputation, seems exciting, players are anxious for it. I remember us having the same conversation a couple years ago about Mike Yurcich also, but Kotelnicki coming in, what is it you want to see from him?
Well, as you were talking about Kotelnicki, and I'm thinking about here we are doing the dance again, just like we did with Yurcich. One issue with and that's a cautionary tale, right? Like you and I have both talked about how we drank the Kool-Aid on Yurcich, and it's not like we were alone on an island. This guy was very well thought of across the sport. With Kirk Ciarrocca and with Mike Yurcich, things filtered out after they left, or in Yurcich's case, before he left even, that there were just personality conflicts within the staff. So right out of the gate, you can only glean so much from a guy winning his first press conference, right? But my feeling has always been like, you'd rather win it than not. At the end of the day, it doesn't really make that much difference. But it seemed clear that this was a completely different personality type than the last two guys we've had, like a lot more open, gregarious. From what I have heard, he has meshed in well quickly with the staff here at Penn State. As far as what I'd like, and so that's important because clearly that became an obstacle for the last two guys in the job he's in. On the field, I am excited to see offensive creativity. What I loved about making the switch from John Donovan to Joe Moorhead, which is about as wide a delta as you could probably get, is the flair for play design and understanding how and when to deploy those mad scientist creations he'd cooked up in the lab inside his brain that Joe Moorhead possessed. And that's Andy Kotelnicki's MO. That's his reputation in the sports. So I thought there were plenty of instances last year, especially, which again was a little mystifying to me because I thought the 2022 offense was pretty good, where Yursich just failed to creatively utilize the talent at his disposal. And I remember being pretty impressed with what Buffalo was able to do with very limited resources the times that Penn State faced them with very good defenses. And now looking back, we know that was Andy Kotelnicki cooking up the offense for them. So I'm just excited to see some more versatility and creativity.
I agree with you. And that personality thing that you made mention of with Yursich, one of the things that I made note of was, remember when this, before the season started, there was the move of Yursich from the sideline upstairs.
Yeah.
And at the time, I don't think many of us thought it was a big deal. But now in hindsight, I look at that and say, yeah, I think this was all part of that, because there's even been conversations that Yursich, it wasn't just with the staff, but he didn't also have that same connection with the players. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I especially now with all of the effusive compliments you hear about Danny O'Brien with the quarterback and how much Drew Aller is happy that he's there, when you have someone say so much about a different guy, I wonder what that tells us about Yursich and his relationship with Drew Aller.
Yeah. Yeah, personality fit is important because these guys spend a lot of time together in high-pressure situations, and if the pieces of the puzzle don't fit together, that can become a real impediment, especially as the season goes on. So crossing my fingers that, you know, whatever, the fifth time is the charm here with Kotelnicki. And just, I joke about that. I do think a little bit too much has been made about the number of offensive coordinators that we've gone through. You know, when you have two of them leaving for head coaching jobs and one is wrapped around the COVID season. And then again, like, I don't know. It just seems to me to be like a little bit of like retroactive armchair quarterbacking to critique the hire of Mike Yursich when he was one of the most well thought of coordinators in the sport at the time we went out and got him. So, you know, this is it. You try things and sometimes they don't work and sometimes they do. And, I'm just going to be very cautious about getting too high on our own supply with Kotelnicki here because of how much we all thought Yursich was a home run hire.
Two quick points on all of that. Number one, I know he's made several changes over the last couple of years, but a few years ago, remember how we were talking about James Franklin being too loyal to his guys? Would he be willing to make the change?
Right.
So now I think it's hypocritical to be critical of him for going the other way. And the second thing is, I think it's also possible to make a home run hire that in the end doesn't work. And I think of that with Yursich. I think everybody thought it was the home run hire. James Franklin did the right thing in bringing this guy in. It just didn't work out. I give him credit for not, you know, trying to justify the prior decision by sticking with the guy if it's the wrong way to go. All right.
100%.
Let's go into the actual players. And now it starts with Drew Aller. I brought him up. And what we have there is a guy who is so promising, Chris, but we see it through the year, so successful against teams they're supposed to beat. You put Michigan or Ohio State in front of them, or in also Ole Miss, as it turned out, did not play well in the big games. What's your confidence level going forward in Drew Aller?
On a 1 to 10 scale?
Yeah.
Let's go with like a 6, because again, you say that your weak point is that you're consistently optimistic heading into every season. My failing is that I have probably erred to the side of recency bias. And, you know, what I just keep coming back to with Aller is the lack of growth and progression in big game situations. Like after the Ohio State game, the cope we all gave ourselves was, oh, okay, well, now he's seen the tough game environment. His next challenging game is going to be at home. He's going to have a few weeks to prepare. This is going to be a growth opportunity for him. And Ohio State Drew Aller looked exactly like Michigan Drew Aller, right? So that gives me pause. And again, I just full disclosure, I am going to be I'm probably uncharacteristically bearish. I don't know. People could argue whether it's uncharacteristic. It seems so to me on this year's team because I feel like I got burned so badly, like just embarrassed for talking them up so much prior to last season. So now I'm back in Missouri mode. You got to show me. And I don't know, I guess I feel like there's a lot of nice things you can say about the season that he had, a lot of really great things. And the pedigree is still there, and he seems to be more comfortable, as you said, with Danny O'Brien as his quarterback's coach. And O'Brien is very well thought of, and he still seems like he's maybe potentially a little bit of a square peg skill set-wise for the offense that Kotelnicki has ran in most of the time. But – you know, again, like I don't know. I feel like a 6 is pretty good. Honestly, it's better than 50%. I don't know. I'll get you a D, I guess. But I don't feel like when I see his name listed on top 10 college quarterbacks coming into the 2024 season, that is indicative of, you know, maybe he's going to make some big jump. Might just be saying more about a sport that lost a bunch of NFL caliber quarterbacks to the league. So I don't know. We'll see.
I think when that you see those put together, I believe they often look at what is the caliber of the team. You know, you don't hear about that kind of quarterback from Vanderbilt. Okay. If a guy's going to, new quarterback comes into Ohio State,
Jay Cutler. Yeah, I'm just, I mean, you can tell I'm mealy-mouthing around here because I really like the kid and I'm rooting for him to do well. My belief was drained from my body over the course of last season in terms of him being like a top-tier, top-five NFL draft pick type guy.
That's going to be it for quarter number one. Chris, we're going to continue on the offensive side of the ball when we get back. And I want to react up one last thought on the Drew Aller. Stay tuned. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, quarter number two. He's Chris Buccanani. I'm Jim Galante. We're taking a look at this Penn State football team going into the 2024 season, or more specifically into spring practice for the season. And Chris, we were starting on the offensive side. We talked about Andy Kotelnicki coming in. My one final thought on Drew Aller that we were talking about is I think the issue is between the ears. I want to see more confidence from him, more swagger. He's a big, strong kid with a great arm. I think he's smart. I think he's able to do his reads. I think sometimes he gets inside his head. I think he was afraid to throw an interception. I think he needs a little bit more swagger, a little bit more daring and risk-taking with the offense. So I think that's where what will take him from a good quarterback against the teams they're supposed to beat to being a good quarterback against those better teams.
And listen, and I'm not dogging the kid, and it's March. I'm probably going to be a 7, you know, 60 days from now, and you know, an 8 or a 9 come kickoff against West Virginia. I don't know, but 9 is going too far. But yeah, and he did a lot of things well last season. I just don't want to make it seem like I'm down on the guy. He was talked about prior to last year. Is could this be somebody who might even be the number one overall pick in the draft? And over the course of the season, I just really became skeptical that that's a gear that he's got. But listen, you can be well below that and still execute a talent-rich college offense very effectively. So, you know, even if he falls well below where we hoped he might be, he could still accomplish a lot of things at Penn State. And college players grow. They grow. He's only 20 years old. I mean, Kerry Collins, you know, didn't look like Kerry Collins in 1993. Michael Robinson, famously, at points in his career, looked like, you know, he was barely qualified to throw a forward pass. And then it ends up going down as one of the most beloved players at the position in the school's history. So players can improve, and they can take big jumps from season to season. And, you know, you ask me what I'm excited about with Andy Kotelnicki. I do think he's going to find ways to utilize Bo Prabula's talents. He very famously has used a few offensive formations where he puts two quarterbacks on the field, and they're both legitimate threats to get the ball and throw. So I think that'll be fun. Again, when I talk about creativity and versatility. One other note about the quarterback room, which I didn't even realize until I was poring over the roster in preparation to talk about this today, Jim, is that Penn State's got a walk-on depth quarterback whose name is Jack Lambert, young man from North Carolina. So what I'm excited about is there's some potential this year with the broadcast team we've got for the Penn State Sports Network to finally see a reunion of Jack Ham and Jack Lambert.
That for us old timers, that would be special. All right, let's look at a couple more places.
Can I just make one final note on Drew Allard? Yeah, sure. Just something else. A major obstacle for the kid, and I know we're going to get into it, is the quarterback is only one half of the equation in the passing game.
Exactly, and that's where we're headed.
And I agree with you on the between the years thing, and I think that was a contributor, by the way. First time seeing big action over the course of the season, when you come to believe you cannot count on your receivers, that's worst case scenario for a young quarterback.
It is, which leads to, you know, how excited are you about a wide receiver lineup that will probably go out there with Julian Fleming, Keandre Lambert-Smith, and Trey Wallace? That excite you?
Well, I guess, even though I talked last week about being reluctant to buy into the pre- or off-season, workout season hype, I am encouraged by how much positivity has been around Julian Fleming, only because we got a body of work on him that shows he could look very, like, pedestrian to competent in the Ohio State wide receiver room, which makes him a superstar by virtually any other program's standards. Now, I'm not saying he's going to put up superstar numbers, but this is an older, mature kid who understands what it means to play at Penn State, who understands what it means to be at an elite level program, to be at the level that we are chasing. And in fact, for our biggest, you know, I was going to say divisional rival, there's no more divisions, our biggest conference rival in terms of being at the level that we are aspiring to. So I'm glad to have Julian Fleming here. I'm glad he chose to come back and play at Penn State before the end of his career. As for the other guys, I mean, the answer is obviously no. Lambert Smith was a major disappointment down the stretch, and Trey Wallace couldn't stay healthy. And I went into last season relatively unconcerned about the receiver spot because I understood it was an unproven commodity. But I also thought, with the variety of talented options at Penn State's disposal, that, you know, you only had to hit on one or two kids. They didn't all have to be great. You just needed one or two guys to step up. And, you know, still somewhat unbelievably in retrospect, the number that we hit on was zero. And so, again, Missouri, show me. I still believe those kids are talented. You know, there are still guys you didn't mention, like Amari Evans and Caden Saunders and Liam Clifford. And I like all of them, aspects of their game. But the coach has got to figure out how to use them. And these guys got to step up when their opportunities arise. I really liked what I saw early on last year in limited sample size from Caden Saunders. And so I said, let's see this guy get some more snaps. Let him see the field. And then he did, and he kind of underwhelmed. You know, when his opportunities came, he didn't capitalize. And so, again, guys can grow a lot in an offseason, and it's just going to have to happen in this receiver room because I, you know, you talked about the scholarship crunch. We're going to have a lot of guys exit the program before you can take a look at trying to improve the position any further in the transfer portal post-spring.
Well, that's where a wide receiver this spring is so important because I believe there's like 14 scholarship wide receivers. Something's got to break there, okay? And it's going to be this spring performance. And some of those guys you mentioned, the Amari Evans, Liam Clifford, throwing Malik McClain, Malik Mega, they either step up or I think they're out the door after the spring, Chris. But circling back to Julian Fleming, there was a adjective that he was described as mature, yeah, by someone at Penn State. And it, the word really struck me as if it's saying he's showing maturity. What wasn't spoken was we haven't seen a lot of that in the wide receiver room.
Sure, you got to read the tea leaves, and sometimes when certain qualities are highlighted, it's as if to say, well, this is in contrast to what we experienced before. Yeah, and all, again, a lot of those guys I mentioned are pretty young. They did not have a lot of playing experience. They didn't really even have a lot of time in the program. And so it's not unreasonable to hope that one or more of them can make the jump because they are talented. It's unreasonable to expect it based on the examples we have so far. And going back to changing offensive coordinators, I do also wonder, were we putting these guys in the best position to succeed? I didn't think, you know, you and I have both talked, Jim, about how we like Clifford and what he brought to the office and offense, and we didn't really feel like they utilized him effectively. You remember in the Michigan State game when Amari Evans just torched everybody, yes, and Aller hit him on that deep pass? Now, again, Michigan State, not a great team, had packed it in for the season. Still, you saw that and you just thought to yourself, where was that all season? You know, what was it that our interim offensive staff had seen that they immediately put that into the playbook when given the opportunity to do so that Mike Yurcich didn't all year? I mean, it's not like we didn't know Amari Evans was fast. It's not like we didn't know that he had some chemistry with Drew Aller and that those two guys could mesh on that particular route combo because we saw it in the blue-white game, and then it just disappeared until the last game of the regular season. So again, to me, one of the big questions is, how does Kolenicki come in here and assess the talent at his disposal, and can he do as good of a job as Joe Moorhead did of actually putting guys in position to succeed based on their skill set?
And you brought up the good example with Amari Evans that we didn't see that, and it was such a small sample size. But I think we could also say the same thing with Caden Saunders and Liam Clifford. They had limited playing time, and you saw a few things there, which made me wonder, why didn't they get more of an opportunity? It wasn't like they had superstars in front of them that were playing so well. In fact, it was just the opposite, Chris.
Right.
And James Franklin's answer to that question is always, you're not here at practice. You're not able to see what they do here. just as a side note, whose fault is that, James, that we don't get to see what happens at practice? It's not that we don't want to be there, James. It's just someone won't let us be there. But anyway, that's another discussion for another day. But in small sample sizes in the games, those three guys specifically did show something, Chris. I would have wanted to see more of them.
Yeah, yeah. And, I understand that there were probably a lot of mistakes being made in practice. I get it. But when those same mistakes and coming up small in big moments is being repeated on the field, then, you know, what do you have to lose, really? And again, like, you know, I said it was probably unfair to ding James for the number of offensive coordinators he's had. Man, that guy, for as good as he is at hiring coaches, has struggled mightily with bringing in a solid wide receivers coach. And so, you know, I think Marcus Higgins has definitely got to be under the microscope this year because of the poor performance at the position last season.
Oh, no doubt, because everybody's going to be watching it. And maybe right or wrong, I kind of give a pass on the hiring because he has hired so well in so many places. The fact that it didn't work out at wide receiver, all of us out in the real world who have had to make hires in private industry, we know how hard it is to get the right people when you go through that interview process. We all could have horror stories about, my goodness, this is not what I expected after the interview. All right, Chris, that's it for quarter number two. Stick around, lots more to talk about. Stick with us. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. It's quarter number three. Chris, we're doing kind of our spring practice preview of the team. I had every intention the first two quarters would talk about offense. The second two quarters, we would talk about the defense. Well, guess what? Like normal, we didn't finish up with the offense. So we'll hit a couple more things kind of quickly, but worth hitting. And I want to hit the offensive line because just a simple question. Can you make sense of the offensive line for me? There's a lot of pieces there. Put the puzzle together.
Well, I think right out of the gate, one of the things that strikes me is that we talk about how lack of a reliable receiving core is a detriment to Drew Aller's development. The flip side of that coin, and it's hard to believe given the history of Penn State football, is that a benefit to him is stability and talent on the offensive line. It just warms my heart to not have to be doing the same song and dance complaining about the O-line. Again, I'm a show-me guy, and we're now two consecutive years into that unit being one of the strengths of the team. And so that really starts to increase my confidence level in Phil Troutwine as a developer of talent. And Penn State has been doing, I think, a commendable job on the recruiting trail of bringing in great raw material for him to work with. And he seems to be doing a good job of improving what he has at his disposal. So I think there were going to be a lot of position battles this spring and going into the summer, but I think it's a good thing because it's indicative of, you know, a genuine two deep where there are guys with the ability to start and play in the Big Ten who are going to be fighting to prove that they belong in the top five. I'm a little concerned, Jim, about tackle just because of the talent and experience that you're losing. But for sure, I think the interior of the offensive line is in really good shape.
I do too, and I think that you're going to lose a superstar as far as offensive linemen go with Fashanu gone.
Sure.
You're also losing Caden Wallace, who was pretty good this past year at right tackle, and Hunter Norzad was actually pretty good at center. So losing three of the five guys. What I find comforting, though, like you said, is the depth and the opportunities for somebody to step up.
I'm looking at these preseason previews. I don't think anyone is giving Nick Dawkins enough credit. He has been in the program for a while. He's experienced. He's a great kid. I mean, not that that really matters. I mean, you can be a great person and a not so great Division I football player. But I think when you go back and you look at the snaps he took last year, he showed that if Hunter Norzad would have gotten injured for any prolonged period of time, I think Dawkins could have stepped in and the offense would barely have missed a beat. So I am very bullish on having an experienced multi-year guy stepping into the starting role in Nick Dawkins. And of course, I mean, you know, it's usually a sign of poor health of your program and your offensive line room if you're talking about a freshman getting in the mix. But Cooper Cousins, I think, is going to be a factor there. And that's just because he's one of these freaks who comes out of high school with potential to play right out of the gate. And by the way, speaking of that, Anthony Donka is another one of those guys who is going to factor in and compete for a starting tackle spot. And so that's why bringing in Nolan Rucci I thought was so important, because he's somebody who, worst case scenario, is your number one backup at multiple spots on the offensive line, but he can also push to be a starter at one of the tackle spots, probably on the right, I guess.
There is a lot there to be enthusiastic about. You mentioned Cooper Cousins and Donka. You didn't even mention Birchmeyer and Javon Williams.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of talent, young talent coming up, and there's still, even after losing three starters, you still have Nelson and Ioane and Worley back. So there's a nice combination of veteran, young guys, and what it adds up to is depth. And remember, it's not likely you're going to have those same five guys, those five starters, first game through 12th game of the season.
Right.
Offensive line does not work that way. So I think having that depth is really, really exciting.
So even though I don't believe in jinxes, I still don't want to jinx it. I got it 2 years in a row that I've been very happy to say the offensive line was not the weak point of the offense or the team. And so, again, I'm not going to say anything more about it. Phil, you got what you need. Just keep it rolling. Don't screw it up.
All right. Well, let's hit the running backs. We know we got two really good players back there. Question is, explosive plays. Are we going to see that again from Nick Singleton this year?
I think the answer is yes. I mean, doesn't the way those two guys finished the year give you, at least for me, I feel way, way more confident in them coming into this season. Do you agree with that?
Oh, I definitely do. I think Catron Allen is so consistent. You know what you're going to get with him. But I think Nick Singleton, you mentioned in earlier segment about the offense in the Michigan State game, where with a different coordinator, we started to see some of those things. I have no reason not to believe we're going to see more of it with Kotelnicki coming in and spending an entire off season being tasked with design something so we can get those guys explosive plays, Chris.
Yeah, sure. I mean, at this point, I think everyone can relax. You can set your watch to Catron Allen and Nick Singleton. Great, great benefit to the offense. The question has just become who's the change-up guy? Is there going to be a change-up guy? And, you know, the name I think everyone is going to be intrigued by is Quentin Martin, the true freshman from Bell Vernon, maybe a guy who can move around and be a little bit of a slot back. But I would not be surprised to see them come up with some creative way to get him on the field right away. But, yeah, running back, big strength. Awesome. Love those guys.
And And they have the couple kids that they brought in last year, London Montgomery and the other kid from Wisconsin.
Cam Wallace.
Yeah. I'm, you know, confident that they'll be fine there. All right, we've got a segment and a half left. Let's jump over to the other side. Let's hit some defense, Chris. And I'm going to start with this. Tom Allen is coming in with huge, huge shoes to fill. And my feeling, he's going to come in after losing six guys to the NFL. My take has always been Manny Diaz would not be Manny Diaz this year if he were coming back, okay? To expect them to do what they did last year is totally unfair to Tom Allen. So what is it we will expect from him?
Like Bill O'Brien leaving for the NFL when we had two scholarship offensive linemen yet, the art of getting out of Dodge at the right time, for sure. That's right. I think to the casual observer, some of the shine was going to come off Manny Diaz if he came back, and now Tom Allen is going to have to hear endless comparisons to Manny Diaz because the defense is going to perform at not quite the same level as last year's defense. I do think there are still so many good players. And maybe this is a dumb thing to believe, but I will stop believing a dumb thing when it stops being true. Penn State just has a way of fielding a good defense. Like you put that uniform, like we were joking about getting Jack Lambert and Jack Ham back together. You know, you put a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform on, you just play better on defense. It's just something magical about it. There is some force in the universe that lets that occur. It's the same thing. You put the basic blues on, you put those road all whites on, you're going to play your best defensive football. And so when you bring great athletic talent in and you put them in Happy Valley, magical stuff happens. I think that, again, when I talk about the offensive line was not the reason why Penn State lost games the last 2 years, in my opinion. I think that's what I'm looking for out of the defense this year. They may not be as superlative at the top end, but I do not expect Jim to get to the end of the season and look back and say, man, the defense really let us down. There's going to be a drop off, but not so appreciable that it really matters.
Well, I had this conversation with somebody the other day about James Franklin, and someone said, well, you got to give him lots of credit for being a good recruiter. And it was said in such a way that as if recruiting guys, you just look at their star rating. Gee, are you able to get lots of 4- and 5-star guys? That makes you a good recruiter. But I think their ability to identify talent that they bring in.
Yep.
Who thought Abdul Carter would be Abdul Carter, you know, before he got here? Yes, you may have known he was a good player. I'm not sure everyone knew he was going to be a great player. And I think when we see these guys go to the combine and see how they physically perform, it's like, wow, there are some elite athletes here. Where I'm headed with this, Chris, is you lost some stars, obvious star power going to the NFL, but there's ready a new generation of stars. I mentioned like KJ Winston and Abdul Carter. These guys are back. Denai Dennis Sutton is back. You still have, and you have studs again at every level of the defense, and here comes Tony Rojas.
And another, you know, traditionally what has been a little bit of a weaker point for Penn State over the last several seasons has been the interior of the defensive line. And I think if you look back last year, defensive tackle was not what I would call a standout spot. But I also didn't feel like it was a pain point like it has been maybe some years. And so the combination of, you know, returning veteran talent and, you know, maybe some promising names that can get into the mix there, including Alonzo Ford, who was the transfer who didn't get to play last year because of injury. You think, again, even if you could just hold serve and not be watching games thinking, ah, we are just getting absolutely mauled inside, that's going to be enough. Like, it would be great to see somebody step up and really have a breakout year, but continuing to maintain a level of not bad is pretty good given the recent history there.
Well, with everyone back, I agree with you. Last year, defensive tackle was not a problem position. It was not. And those couple guys choosing to come back for another year just means that's solidified. But it doesn't mean there aren't a couple other questions on the defense. We're going to get back to those. I'm going to ask Chris. I'm going to ask him about that move of Abdul Carter from linebacker to defensive end. We're going to do that when we come back for quarter number four. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Chris, I'm Jim. It's quarter number four. Chris, let's finish strong. I ended quarter number three with the tease about Abdul Carter making the move from linebacker to defensive end. I'm sure this is something they discussed with him, made sure he was on board with it. It's probably a move that will help him make money the following year going to the NFL, which is a good thing. I have no problem with that. How about you for the 2024 Penn State football season, though? Are you excited about Abdul Carter moving to defensive end?
So here's what's interesting about that. Right out of the gate, there are a few guys I'm really excited, young guys I'm excited to see this season. And Jameel Lyons is one of them, a young defensive end who flashed in limited playing time. Now, the one thing I will say, it's just a very mild caveat. Often the bowl game is the time when those young guys you've seen play limited snaps but be effective in their opportunities get more of an opportunity to shine. And Lyons, I thought for sure, was going to be a major factor in the Peach Bowl, and he barely played. So I don't know. But the reason why I bring that up is just for sure we know, Jim, that Deni Dennis Sutton has one of the starting defensive end spots locked down. And Penn State likes to use a rotation. I don't think that's going to change under Tom Allen. So we're going to see multiple guys. But the question is, who is going to play the bulk of the snaps? Who are the guys you're going to count on? And Dennis Sutton is one of them. I do think the move of Carter now puts him probably in the catbird seat to be the starting end opposite Deni Dennis Sutton. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah.
So that then changes the entire contours of what that rotation looks like. Because if indeed I'm right that Jameel Lyons is ready to make a jump as a true sophomore, then, you know, you still have guys who were pretty effective last year when they got in Amin Vanover, who I like a lot, and Zariah Fisher, who I know the staff is high on. And then this familiar old name, one of my big question marks, and I, to be honest, I kind of doubt it, but it would be nice. Are we going to see anything from Smith Vilbert, who had like three sacks? Two of them were kind of like, you know, a little questionable in the bowl game against Arkansas. And then that's the last we heard of the guy. He's had academic issues, apparently, and injury issues, but he's still on the roster and very well may still be a contributor come fall. You just never know at the transfer portal and in the roster situation anymore. But, I do think that adding a playmaker, a chaos maker like Carter to that rotation really just completely takes it to another level. So, yeah, and the more disruptive you can be off the edge, probably the more you help those defensive tackles we were just talking about in the last segment.
Well, to me, having a defensive end get to the quarterback, that's a game changer. Those create game-changing plays.
Yep.
And if by moving him to defensive end, you're giving him that opportunity, to me, he's the Chop Robinson replacement.
Don't you think we'll probably see in passing situations again, like Carter maybe moves inside and you have three defensive ends on the field?
Oh, yeah. Yes. Or they move somebody else inside and leave him outside. I think they will move him around. I think they will. This is Tom Allen's job to scout the team they're playing, see where there's vulnerability, and put Abdul Carter in that position to take advantage of it. That's
yeah, I'll be surprised if he doesn't take some, like, quote-unquote linebacker snaps as well.
Yes. And you even had – now, you know, I'm watching, Manny Diaz's defense. And again, I mentioned I watched the Michigan State game video not too terribly long ago, and there was a play where I don't know if they were zone blitzing, whatever – but they had Chop Robinson dropping in coverage from his defensive end position. And it stuck out because Todd Blackledge, who was the color guy on this, said, if I'm a quarterback and I see that happening, I'm thrilled because you don't have Chop Robinson coming after me. But there's already been designs in the Penn State defense where a defensive end could drop. Obviously, with his linebacking experience, Abdul Carter will have the ability to do that. So I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm thinking they just move him where it's to his best advantage. And I'm excited to see that. But the question
I'm getting becomes, delirium tremens flashing back to the Eagles dropping Hassan Reddick into coverage. There is just this mystifying phenomenon among a lot of defensive coaches, Jim, where I think they just try to, like, they outsmart themselves almost, where you have these guys who clearly their special talent is going after the quarterback. And, you know, you're trying to, you know, play 4D chess and you outthink yourself. I am with you. Just if a guy was put on this earth to chase quarterbacks, then by God, let them chase quarterbacks, especially because I'll help the transition here. I think we're going to have some really good pass coverage experts again in the defensive secondary, despite sending three corners to the NFL.
You know, Chris, I got to just relay a conversation I had with, well, one of our listeners. You know, I'm a big fan of the Pulp Daddy beer.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is the guy who owns the company, the brewery that makes it. And he and I had a conversation. This is well prior to the position change for Abdul Carter. And he and I were chatting, as we will, about football. And he brought it up. Jim, why in the world don't they just move Abdul Carter to defensive end and just set him loose? Just set him loose. Let him create havoc in the backfield. And, you know, sure enough, here it is. So Paul from Massachusetts gets the coaching credit as far as I'm concerned, because he made that decision months before Tom Allen and James Franklin did. But by moving Abdul Carter to defensive end, you now have Curtis Jacobs and Abdul Carter leaving the linebacker room. Where are we there? I thought Kobe King made huge strides last year, Chris.
He sure did.
He played really well. We're all really excited about Tony Rojas, despite the small sample size. Okay, then what at linebacker?
Well, I know this is probably going to be a mixed bag for a lot of the listening audience, but you have Tyler Elsden is coming back as well. And you know, look, we know... I one of my obligatory co-hosts, y'all can guess which one, is not a huge fan of seeing Elsden on the field. And we know what his limitations are. I think personally, I feel like he has gotten way, way too much criticism. I mean, there's a just right amount of criticism for him, and it's gone beyond that. But you know, that's the first name you want to mention. To me, Jim, the guy I am intrigued with, who I think, I don't know how much we're going to see him, but he's one of those guys like Lions was for me heading into last season at defensive end is I'm really, really curious to see what Keon Wiley does. You're looking at we're on Zoom, so you're nodding. That's a guy who I think has not gotten the pub of Rojas, and I love Rojas, but if you're now looking for the buy low, sell high name of the spring, who I think we're going to be hearing mentioned a lot come summer, it could be Keon Wiley at linebacker.
Well, the story I'll relay to you about Keon Wiley is I got a heads up from a high school football writer when that class came in. Look out for Keon Wiley. I think he might end up being the best player defensive recruit in this class. That was the same class Abdul Carter was in, by the way, okay? And It caused me to watch him more closely, his high school tape and all that. I'm with you. I think Keon Wiley could surprise us. I think there's still Dom DeLuca is there.
Yep.
Are we going to start to see some things from Tamir Robinson coming in? Had an injury his senior year of high school, should be fully recovered from that and be ready to go. A couple years now in the system. I'm not concerned about linebacker. In the couple minutes we have left, talking about defensive backs, A.J. Harris, Kimber were brought in. I like the way James Franklin and his staff identifies holes and fills them from the portal. Not guarantees that these guys will be stars, but are you comfortable that they did enough at cornerback?
I am, actually. Look, and again, you always roll the dice a little bit with the transfer portal, but that's a place where I'm willing to be optimistic, okay? Right? Maybe because I have to be after the performance in the Peach Bowl. But I think there's enough there. I really like the guys they ended up pulling from the transfer portal. Just like, again, as an Eagles fan, I'm always happy when we draft SEC guys. As a Penn State fan, I'm always happy when we sign free agents from the SEC. And I think Penn State has done a tremendous job recruiting talent at safety. There is so much talent in the safety room right now. You and I both love KJ Winston. I really, really think they're set there. So the question is just, can, you know, if AJ Harris is truly cornerback one, then you've got four guys, all of whom we've seen some good things from, Kimber at Florida, and then the three young players from Penn State, who, again, don't knock them too much for the situation they were thrown into in the Peach Bowl. That is just not, I don't think, representative of who they are as players or who they will become with a full offseason to prepare to play more snaps. It's crazy to say there won't be any drop-off. These were really talented kids that we're seeing are going to be have their names called in April in the NFL draft. But, you know, just like the defense as a whole, I think there may be some drop-off, but maybe not that much.
Yeah, it could just drop from exceptional to really good, and we could all live with that. And yes, I'm with you. I've been on the KJ Winston train for quite a while. I think he's going to be an absolute star if he's not already a star, Chris. All right, that is it, Chris. That went too fast. We did our spring preview of this Penn State football team. We will do it all again next week, Chris. Who knows what we'll talk about? Maybe we'll get back to the playoff situation. Who knows? But make sure you come back. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Having multiple sportsbook accounts is the simplest way to get the best available odds, and there's never been a better time to sign up. When you visit our page, signupexpert.com/KSN, you'll be connected to all the sportsbooks in your region. All of these sportsbooks have valuable sign-up offers for new users, and through our link, you'll automatically receive the top offer at each one. If you want to take advantage of these benefits, sign up for your next sportsbook at signupexpert.com/KSN or see the preferred sportsbook button on our app.